Legislature, that is communicate in text as well as in translation. Section 96, upfront. Of the ECA makes it clear that the state is bound by the Act. It is the authority which licenses renews licenses and has to grant permission for the transfer of licenses. No policy made by the minister in terms of section 3.1 or policy direction issued by the minister may be made for issues regarding granting amendment, transfer, renewal, suspension, or revocation of the license, except at the meeting in terms of this section. Licensing in the electronic community is in all parties according to the exclusive domain of ICASA in terms of both the ECA and the ICASA Act. Section 3.3 and 4 of the ICASA Act provide that the authority must grant, renew, amend, and transfer the contract. Just a matter of common knowledge to everybody in the country. And chapter 3, the very one that relates to the license, governs the parameters around which each and every operator in the sector has got to subject to the license conditions. Of rights and obligations, licensing, obligations with regard to interconnection, universal service obligations, and many others. The authority we should emphasize that the ECA also allows the minister to make policy direction for the sector. We submit that this would also need to be considered to ensure the speedy licensing of the product. So there are steps, processes, and procedures around which every entity comes into being with regard to operations. We relate to transfer and escort licenses, which we know that they are TCN as far as they have been licensed, and these can necessarily be converted. They may obviously end up being individual licenses. So far, they've been for private services, and that's the terms and conditions under which they are operating right now in terms of the license that we grant. Section 262C should be noted, and reference can be made. A private electronic communication network used principally for integrally related to the internal operations of the owner are exempt from license. Now that would relate to PTX in terms of our section. But where the network's additional capacity to reach those authority may prescribe terms and conditions for transfer. So in this particular case, I'm just referring to those entities that have been licensed by ICASA, ESCOM, and others. How they may have to be looked at in terms of the it should be pointed out also that every time sale of a license that is concerned, the CASA's authorization will have to be sought in terms of the safety of the people. So all I'm saying here is really the governing legislation around which we operate has to be considered ultra direct. In order to minimize the contents of later, I think we've got to get everything right up front. In case some other person has got a challenge, whichever way we license whatever entity, then we should have been treated and within the law. The ECA does not currently provide mechanisms to recognize this entity that is struck as holding an individual electronic communication network. Section 5 provides that the authority may upon application in due consideration in the department of grant and legal license for the following. The following are offered individual licenses, network licenses, individual service licenses, and broadcasting licenses. Section 5.7 of the ECA provides in relevant parts that the authority must prescribe a regulation setting out the process and procedure for applying for registering, amending, transferring, and renewing one or more of the licenses. So, if you fulfill this act, like you consider any other submission to us, Of course, the licensing is also applicable, and the guidelines are given by the minister as to within which parameters the licensing should be. This as far as the minister would provide for any member on licensing. And section 5.6 says that the authority may only accept and consider applications for individual electronic networks and licenses in terms of the policy directives issued by the minister. This is in terms of section 3. In other words, the minister can come up with policy directives and then ask the CASA to go through the process. This is as far as the directions are concerned with regard to how we relate to policy.
The
committee, as I understand it, the minister hasn't established the policy. Is that correct?
Yes,
sir. Yes. Okay.
Yes, this
is a summary of what you have, but I'll give you a copy. What you...
This is not quite as good as the presentation.
But I'll say it because I've said it 4,000 times before, and maybe somebody in the public sector out there, civil society will finally listen. You know, we advertise for public hearings. We're very good at it. We did it 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. We gave people up to 3 weeks to apply. We then tell you the date by which you must make a submission for a written representation, and then for oral evidence. Then we also say to you submit 3 days before or something. Bonani does this. You know, it's amazing. 80% of civil society out there will come on the morning of the hearing, usually, or the night before. So last night I had no opportunity to read this. And then you expect a productive exchange between us. You'll have left for Johannesburg today or wherever you come from. I haven't got the energy or time to phone you and check some of these things. Can we, once again, it's about, the Bonani is new. You've been around a long time, about 5,000 times. Can you record this? For the 55,000 times, I am saying to people, please, you know, you have far more resources than this committee has. Far more resources than you have this committee has. Please, submit to us your presentation at least 48 hours beforehand. And when you come here, make the same submission as you've given us. Those of you who make the submission, I know it's got nothing to do with you. I'm just dealing with it. There's so many of you here. I'm sure the communications committee will deal with you after today. On their behalf, I say, please, there's no reason why you cannot, firstly, submit 48 hours before you come here, and secondly, do the same provision here as you've given us 48 hours previously. Because often we leave the stuff, and then what you come with is subtle, nuanced, and different. And ultimately, if you're deciding where a comma and a full stop is going to go in a piece of legislation, hey, that's a big difference. So can I once again plead, I know nobody will hear me. I have no doubt you have the same problem you will have here with due respect to you, if you're a normal South African, before the Communications Committee of Women and Teens Plus and so on, you would say to you, but for what it's worth, I cannot do the deal with you. Can we go ahead? It would have really helped us, well, me anyway, as the chair and the co-chair, to have read this last night. Okay, but go ahead.
Notwithstanding the above, I think CASA were legally able to license Infaco. The authority believes that Infaco's license cannot be validated without payment of requisite license in terms of the section. And the authority believes that Infaco's terms and conditions will need to be aligned with the terms and conditions prescribed by the authority in terms of section 8. CASA also submits that the most legally sound manner for the licensing to proceed in the current framework in accordance with the ECA is for the minister to issue policy directives in terms of section 5.6. And the policy directive is framed to address sections of the sector rather than directed at the civil license. We go to section and right of work. We wish to highlight, of course, that section 6 and 7 of the Infaco Bill must be streamlined in chapter 4 of the ECA. Regarding the rights of way for the telecommunication network service management. The presumption against section 93 7, the authority may not grant or include in any converted, in any license converted central register for any monopoly or a treatment right in any network or service contemplated by this Act or the related legislation. 93A, also any monopoly exclusive right existing by virtue of the related legislation is null and void. Conclusion. For regulatory certainty, the ordinary procedure set out by the EC ought to be followed. The state is, however, also bound by the ECA in terms of section 96 of the ECA. Pragmatically, however, it has understood the need for speeding up the process by granting the license in section 61 of the bill. But in the event of any conflict between the provisions of this Act, the related legislation, or any other law relating to the regulation of broadcasting electronic communications, the provision of this Act shall prevail. It is the authority that has the sole right for the transfer of individual licenses or sole ownership. We, however, need to point out that the Draco matter should be addressed in terms of the fine. Minister must come up with policy. The authority realizes the need for promoting affordable prices in the broadband sector as well as promotion of competition, and it regards the matter as one of agency. Thank you for your
time. Just for the sake of clarity, as the co-chair of this committee, you've given us a very useful starting overview of the ETA. It's helpful. But basically, I want to ask a direct question. It may not be available to you to respond directly at the front, but all I can tell you is to save time. What we really want to know at the end of the day is, if there is a conflict between what is there in the intro bill as far as licensing is concerned and the ETA, that's all we want to know, basically. That's the first one. And if there is, do you have a way out, bearing in mind the need for speed and efficiency in securing a license for the protocol? That's basically what we want to know. Now, it may not be appropriate for you as an independent authority to, in a forum like this, answer that question. If that is the case, say so. I will not be guided by my co-chair here. But that's all we need to know. You see, we're in the public enterprise portfolio committee. As you know, explain to people, policy and regulatory issues are dealt with by the respective sectors. That means, in the case of Transnet, in the transport portfolio committee and ministry, in the case of communications here, it's Godfrey's committee, communications committee, and the minister of communications. We deal with shareholder management issues. We deal with the functioning financial performance and other issues related to state-owned enterprises. So we're not experts in policy, but we're very, very glad to see Colleague Godfrey and others here from the communications committee. So in short, our main concern is there a conflict? And if so, is there a way out? Obviously, GPE doesn't think there's a conflict, otherwise they wouldn't have put it in the law. And presumably, the Department of Communications doesn't think there's a conflict, because we asked that question and I thought the answer was no. And presumably the Minister of Communications was in cabinet when this bill was processed. And presumably it's one single cabinet we have in this country. And therefore we think that this bill is not just Minister Alex Irwin's bill or Portia Molesta's bill, it is the bill of the government of South Africa, for Parliament to decide. So we take it that communications and GPE agree with the Infocom, and ICASA may be suggesting that, hey, what say is inconsistent with the ECA, and therefore the ECA prevents. Do you want to reply to it? After that, we can throw it over. The rest of the issues are great, but really they affect conflict.
I would want to appreciate step by step that they are governed by the ECA in whatever manner we have to execute our task. And anything that comes before us, we use the frame of reference. So we like the support we have, but if this were to happen, any challenge, it may just be that it's late. Therefore, it should be done correctly. If there are any potential obstacles on the way, we should do it right now. That is why we decided to try to find something. We want to do this. it's just an input into making sure, because I consider this as a workshop, I find out very workshop is the unit. But we are throwing all ideas to make sure that the product that has the quality to it, but will not end up with a cost and then focus on some sort of time when I think so the first important thing is that are the procedures and the process correct in arriving at the intentions are not about if anybody who would be concerned about the lowering of prices in terms of telecommunications, that concern is no more than mine. And therefore, I have all the best intentions to see that we correct that need for us to really be able to leverage what we can acquire from it. And this is what about with regards to all the efforts. There are a lot of benefits that can arise, a lot of fiber which can provide health, facilities, commerce, education, etc. So we certainly want to help in making sure that the infrastructure will succeed at the end of the day. But things have got to be done within the law. So we are providing guidance here as to how things should be done. Without necessarily mentioning that there is conflict, but we're saying if it has to be done, this is the framework which was drafted by parliamentarians as a result of a policy outlook, and therefore, in order for each to gain flexibility and make sure that other people don't come back, what is good for the group is good for the gender. We may run into different problems in that particular space. Therefore, we need just to observe the laws that we craft, that govern the environment, and make sure that the same thing. This, as we told the HEA, is a lawyer's paradise. The way to make lots and lots of money if we are not able to prosecute it appropriately. And this is our foreboding and concern that we are not even wealthy enough if we were to be challenged in court to be able to defend any way in which we could have gone wrong with the particular steps that we undertaken.
I will interpret what I think you said, and if I'm wrong, that's fine. You're really very carefully drafting your response, and you're not actually replying precisely to the question because of your role as a CASA, I may. My sense of what you're saying is that, well, this is my interpretation. I could be wrong, you don't have to respond in the service. I'm just helping the committee to the job of co-chair. My understanding would be, what is being said here is that, yes, there is some sort of conflict and let's sort it out. You're not saying it so directly. And if that's the case, we as a committee need to apply our minds as to what role, I don't know when consultancy comes across to you, what role ICASA can play in helping us to solve that, and what other independent stakeholders can play. But you're absolutely right. What you're saying is no different from the committee said. A, we welcome the formation of INTECO. We think reducing the cost of telephony is crucially important. We think that competition is necessary. All the things you say. But the essential question is, as far as licensing goes, can we do? Firstly, you see, there are two issues that I see. I don't know if you can help, but there are two issues here. So one issue is there a conflict between the ECA licensing provision and what in particular scope? And then, if there is a conflict, can we address that conflict in the INFRACO world in a way that does not undermine the basic policy and trust of the ETA? Can we address INFRACO specific problems within the framework of the ETA? So the ETA is a defined everyday parliament document, and so that is the goal that defines. The third issue that does arise, it also arises in respect of scheduling and the PFMA. Can you use one pearl to amend another act in Parliament without the committee seeking to do this, securing the full consent of the committee that passed the original act? In other words, specifically, is it appropriate for the Public Enterprises Portfolio Committee to change licensing provisions in the ETA for INFRACO without the full consent of the Communications Committee? That's a broader issue. We left this issue, mind you, in the previous committee, I said local government. we had to undo or amend legislation that did not get processed previously by our own portfolio committee of provincial and local government. Interestingly, we were told we can't do it then. But the people who said it then are not in Parliament anymore, nor are they in the department. And I'm sure the very same people who get deep links for others will say quite the opposite, you can't do it. That's the nature of law. So I don't want to enter into discussion about that. So in short, the problem is continual health here. This is really the issue, isn't it? It's always not having endless discussion. And it's a framework to define what you're saying and we throw it open to you. Continual health. Isn't that the issue? I don't know what else we do.
Yeah, no, I think in terms of amending the ECA, it would be problematic without proper concurrence. So that matter won't arise, shouldn't arise. Secondly, the issue that I think CAF is trying to give us some direction to say this is doable, but there are steps that we must follow. Maybe the department must assist us here because the minister issued some policy direction in a speech the last time in terms of processing that to arrive to this 5.6, where it's the legally sound way of addressing this question. Maybe the department even can just assist in there because that is the way to go. What he can't say, if you do it any other way, you would be actually opening up legal loopholes that might delay the process. So it's doable, but you've got to do it correctly. The issues that they are worried about, exclusivity in particular, is very true. I'm sure those are issues that can be resolved as well. So they should be right. Those are the only issues.
More problematic than I suggested it is, which is good, because I have to handle you carefully. You know, he would be more than that. Let us go to the fun quickly.
First of all, thank you, Chair. As far as the policy directive mechanism is concerned, I think the Department of Communications is the appropriate department to respond to that because it's their ministry issuing the policy directive. As far as the mechanism to be deployed is concerned, I think that the point has been made very well by yourself and the Chair of the Portfolio, the Communications Portfolio Committee. The department of public enterprises is just intent on ensuring that InfraCo can operate effectively as quickly as possible in order to achieve its mandate. We have secured senior counsel opinion, but as the Chair pointed out, there's a possibility of multiple different opinions, but we have secured senior counsel opinion advising us that while the ECA regulatory regime is not does not allow for a individual license to be issued specifically to the state, the legislature does have the right to actually provide for a deemed license, and we have precedents in the past of that. Saintec, Telkom had deemed licenses. So it's not uncommon. We have precedent. Our senior counsel position is that it's what we have provided for in the InfraCo Bill, in fact, is constitutionally sound. What I should highlight as well is that if you read the provision in the InfraCo Bill, it provides for the Minister of Communications to instruct InfraCo to present the necessary documentary evidence for ICASA to proceed with a process of determining licensing terms and conditions. So it does not fully exclude the processes under the ECA. It doesn't exclude the role of ICASA as such. It just provides an instruction to proceed with the issuing of a license an InfraCo state-owned entity. That's what it provides. And I think we need to just focus on that restriction as well as far as the InfraCo bill is concerned.
Can you give us a copy of that independent counsel opinion? We have now a lawyer. Kuleko, is it? Kuleko? There you are. Okay, we give it to you. You look at it and you also consult with whoever and come to Parliament's own opinion. On the and presumably you can refer to Ruby.
together with the members of the committee. Can I just be processing? Two is I think we should say this very clearly. I think it is not good for a parliamentary committee to pass legislation that is challenged in a court of law or is challenged in a constitutional court. It just makes badly on parliament. So I think for parliamentary committees in general, that we would be really reluctant until we are finally convinced and fairly reluctant to pass the provisions in this bill. You will have to convince us, you and the Department of Communications, you have to convince us, and you would want to draw fullest cooperation from the Communications Committee. So we want to tell you that all is in your court. And I don't know what happened, but we would also like to urge you, as a department that brought us all to Parliament, start working with the ICASA or whoever, Department of Communications, and see with the provision, and see whether outside this meeting, I don't know what your role is. So maybe you're not supposed to do this. But if it is your role to assist ECA and DOC to ensure that the licensing provisions of this bill are consistent with the ECA, then please play that role. We are urging you. We will ask you. Did you consult with the council? We will ask you who is more in the ministry of Banana? We will ask you if you come 2 weeks from now, what did you do? And if you tell us because I can't do that sort of thing, that's fine. But please do that. We save a lot of time. Having said that, let me say anything before we ask the members. I don't think so. Okay, so we can hand over to the members now. Okay, over to you, Dean.
Thank you, Chair. I thought perhaps to assist. If you'll allow me to put a very practical perspective, I think legally there is a problem when you legislate to create a body, it has the sole right to license and regulate in this country. It is problematic and definitely undesirable, but I think legally problematic for us, the National Assembly, which has indeed done so in the past, to usurp that power by granting licenses by law. We've done it before, as Sandra said. And interestingly enough, the more directly applicable example is the case where Transnet and Eskom were given 30% of the second national operator in the old Telecoms Act that we've now repealed. Now, you ought not to run telecoms like that. Parliament ought not to be. So, legally problematic. But I thought to take this forward, as you were thinking, we have. Since we are anyway in this bill, thinking under Clause 6.2 of passing the whole thing over to ICASA to write the terms and conditions. They still have to do the effective licensing because they are going to write the terms and conditions. And you're asking 6.2 that the Minister of Communications must give them the document. Does it really speed the process up that much to deem it by law? I'm not sure that you're going to achieve exactly the same purpose by following what's in the ECA. Provided our esteemed Minister of Communications moves on this, all she has to do is write that policy regulation. But the ECA already anticipates this kind of development, as you know. It says where an individual license is to be contemplated for a state, where a state entity holds 25% of the new licensee. She must issue this right here. So it's anticipated, provided the Honourable Ivy moves and does this thing quickly. I don't see that this makes such a big difference. Because under 6.2, because I'm going to have to do what ICASA does anyway. And I wonder if that isn't the sensible approach.
I was going to say much of the same thing as Chief Simmons, but now that she's said it, I'm worried whether my point is valid tonight.
I would be very worried if we thought very
differently. Okay, but God, we'll see though. Let me just make one thing. You know what? I was just wondering the same thing. So I wanted to ask one. You know, when is the minister going to finalize this policy there? Let's give it to you, Pastor, because you will have to license other entities. And this is a matter I address to my colleagues here. Part of it, you need to be commissioned. And we put pressure on our minister to just go in that direction, if that's the way we finally go. We just, as you said, it's more of a workshop, it's a public hearing. We've come to no position, Pastor. We're listening to all sides. But to sort of like ensure progress, we don't cover the same ground again when we meet on the 22nd, we're pushing things a bit forward. Actually, Dean said exactly what I was thinking. But I was going to control the OBC, actually. But in any case, can I just bring the issue that arises? Yeah, okay.
the practical question arises is, when will the minister do this? Right, so actually we should really ask the department. Right, and two, is it going to make such a big difference then? If we can avoid all these possibilities of legal challenges, that we speed up the process, we come to some agreement, the two ministers meet or something, or part of a sitting and come to some agreement on this thing and so on. It's very much the direction he said, but as Godfrey suggests, before I go on, and Godfrey knows me also well, let me have with the Department of Communication. Oh, please, yes.
Thank you, Joe. There are policy directives were published by our minister on the 26th of May 2007 after her budget speech. We then consolidated public comments and sent them to the legal advisors. They are currently looking into legalities of finalizing the submissions that were received today. But the seniors will receive the opinion on the public comments from the speaker that was the final procedure that is published by the minister.
Which is by when? Do you have some idea? Will it be this year, before the end of the year, early next year, when?
No, they usually require more than 21 days.
I suggest before the end of this year, you'll probably have
it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay.
I think from yesterday and today's interaction, that I think the whole question about this licensing issue is raised on the fact that we're trying to use a bill to grant a business entity a license and infringing on Kasa's incentives. Now, from your view, judging from an independent perspective, wouldn't you say it would be easier if the board just said Kimproco should apply for license under the ETA provision rather than providing a granting extension right this thing in the board? Would that make your life easier, or would that be legally more procedurally correct in terms of putting things in place?
The
app. I think maybe she also asked partners why they put the thing into the bill rather than apply with what communication should be done.
The basic reason is very good. Signing guarantee. It's as basic as that. If we have an alternative method suggested that can actually give us the same timely guarantee security, we would be happy to make the
decision. I think we should avoid also running into circles. The process is not starting now. The reason why I was suggesting that the department also responsible is that in May already, policy directions were issued by the minister on the same matter specifically, on the issue of Infracom, which suggests that the route that needs to be followed is the one that ICASA is saying. After finalizing that, we look into 5.6. So that process is on track. So to suggest again, I'm not saying it's wrong to say that we should, because if you want to go in and give you a license, there is very much in your process in issuing an ITA and all that type of thing. So it's going to be longer. And you can't specifically issue a license for one, for Infraco. It's got to be open to the public. So that's why there's a process, and I don't see any, where I'm seated, I'm not lawyer, but where I'm seated, I don't see a legal problem with the process that we are following, provided that it's followed in terms of the law, like the ICASA is suggesting. So let's just be relaxed on that one so that we don't run in circles and talk about the same thing. Unless the process is legally flawed after the state law advises the people at 10%, then you don't have to declare something nice on the matter.
Then finally, are there any other questions before we just round off? Then there's just two issues that arise. Like, one is, as I understand, just for clarity purposes, you said Parliament has exercised this sort of right for legislation in respect of deeming certain organizations to have a license, even though the procedure to be followed, you refer to same-sex and other entities. That was never challenged in court.
No.
But it doesn't mean this won't get challenged, because the issues of sex here are much higher in some respects, right?
Indeed, but they never have a guarantee that any provision in any legislation will be challenged.
No, that's the truth. And secondly, there's a philosophical issue that are political issue, policies that arise, which is the point being must be desirable, policy-wise, even if we can't do it, when you have an independent authority that you yourself as Parliament have provided for legislation to usurp, if you like, or intrude on the powers of such an independent authority. I have my own views on that. I don't want to enter into a long debate. I think this is an issue that will maybe have to be addressed. But finally, it may not be so much as a legal issue as with our committee and communications to decide by a majority whether it's desirable or not. That's another issue. Okay, thank you very much. Then we go to the next. Thank you. Thank you. To Chalcom. There's a tea break, I think, here very early, 8:45. Is the tea here already? To other portfolios. Where's the egg podcast? Erika, you here? Can you just help me? Is the tea ready? I'm not sure why we got tea at 10:45. According to this program.
No.
Good, okay. Let's go on to Chalcom. Yes, thank you, Chalcom. Please introduce yourself, please, and let's move for 15, 20 minutes. Thank you.
Honorable Chair and members of the committee, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share with you our views and concerns on the bill. The delegation is led by Professor Andrew Barron, who's going to give an overview of our presentation, and followed by the main presenter, Mr. Thando Lubanga, we're going to focus on the main issues and try and expand on them. And subsequent to that, we'll open the floor for the, we'll entertain the questions. I will hand over to Professor Barra. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Let me just very briefly say that we, Telkom really views the introduction of the bill as part of the larger ongoing reform process in telecoms in South Africa. And I mentioned three of the other big reform initiatives that you may or may not be aware of: the license conversion process, the market reviews, and the whole African, the satellite, the red zone, undersea connectivity. So it's really within this framework that we view the bill as part of the larger process. We believe that in many respects the bill will affect and impact some of these other initiatives, and in turn, naturally, we expect that some of these other processes will affect and impact the goal and the introduction of InfraCo. Essentially, as you would have read in the written submission, we are in support really of the government's objectives in terms of broadband connectivity, affordability to underdeveloped areas. And we participated in the process with the draft broadband InfraCo bill. There was input given, written. Some of our concerns were articulated there, and so what we really now do is just give oral overview of some of those issues that still remains unaddressed. I think the headings are out of sight, but that's fine. This is really just a summary of our key arguments, and my colleague Thando will then, for the duration of the presentation, he will further go into detail. We are essentially saying what I now have heard others have said, that InfraCo should be subject to and really governed by the ECA and the regulatory environment contemplated in the ECA, whether this is with regard to the licensing process, its broadband services should be governed and within the ambit of ICASA. With regard to appropriation, Thando will speak there about the really arguing for the deletion of the provision. We believe there are other instruments that is able to achieve the same outcome. And then with regard to servitudes, we accept the transfer from the one entity to the other, but we really do disagree about the expansions of rights that was previously enjoyed. And then just some of the definitions that is not yet clarified according to us, Thando will further address. So without much to do, let me just hand over to Thando.
Thank you, Chairperson. As a starting point, we would like to say that InfraCo, as it is being established to provide electronic communication network, would have to be governed by the ECA. And then, it being the case, it has to be subject and governed by the regulatory environment contemplated by the ECA. And it should better be regulated by ICASA communication service. And the role of ICASA in the whole establishment of InfraCo is central to the licensing process. ICASA is responsible for licensing issues for electronic communication service. And it is our understanding that ICASA is supposed to function independently and impartially. And even in this particular instance, we would submit that it should play that role. To the extent that the Minister of Communications wishes to address issues of national policy applicable to ICT and relevant to InfraCo, then that again in terms of the Act could be done, but it should be done consistent with the objectives of the ICT. We are making a submission to the committee, namely that the licensing process that is thought to be done by this bill is indeed not in line with the procedure and the steps that are provided for in the infection line of the disease. And it is also our submission to the committee that this could be tantamount to undermining the powers of the ICASA. I would say this, for example, there has been no invitation to apply for the communications network license that has been issued by ICASA when it comes to this of licensing. There has been no notice of the license in the government. Not the steps that are stipulated in the DCA. I think when one looks at Section 52 of the deal, we are of the view at that point that it does not really heed the requirements of Section 8 of the DCA for the following reason. The application of this license, as it's got to be done by the bill, seems to be only confined to interval, contrary to what the DCA says. Again, ICASA has to be making invitations for this license. This license is just being carried out by the minister. And is only directed to IMSAC or not to any other person, contrary to what Section 8 says of the ECA. What the deal is that, in essence, that says that a license should be regarded as having been granted. And in our understanding and interpretation of the ECA, we don't think that that could be done within the current legislation that is with the ECA. So the issue of a deemed license that has been spoken about, we don't think it is within the ambit of the ECA. That is our submission. And again, one thing that we have picked up is that it would seem that what the Minister of Communication would do would instruct ICASA to submit to ICASA terms and conditions of its license for publication in the Gazette. We are of the view that based on the reading of the ECA, that it is in fact ICASA that should be prescribing the terms and conditions of the license of ICASA, not the other way around. Therefore, we firmly believe that this is the manner in which the deal seeks to hold the license of ICASA disregards the ECA and undermines the powers of ICASA. We are asking that the department should actually comply with ECA and ICASA processes should be adhered to when the licensing is done. There should not be a payment of ICASA when it comes to licensing. We are asking Parliament for the information. In essence, what we are saying is that Section 6 of the deal should be written and be aligned with the licensing process consultation. And the licensing of ICASA should be fully handled by ICASA in the manner provided for the ECA. We may mention in this regard, Chair, in relation to the role of the Minister, that in essence we are not opposed to 5 seats as we have stipulated in our executive submission. The route of 5 seats should be followed, but it should be done according to the letter and spirit of the ECA, not in any other manner. One thing here which I should mention to the committee is that we are aware of the minister's voting speech where this was alluded to. It is our submission to the committee that mere mention of the speech doesn't, in our interpretation of the ECA, come closer to what is contemplated for the ministerial determination of the nature that are contained in Section 3 of ECA and Section 5. On the expropriation, we want to ask the committee that given that the INSACO would eventually be licensed in terms of the ECA, Chapter 3, particularly Section 22 of the ECA, does provide for the objectives that are contained in Section 8 of the deal. And as such, and further, again, the Expropriation Act is also a useful statute which also caters for the objectives that are contained in Section 8 of the deal. And as such, Telecom is of the view that Section 8 should be deleted entirely, not really. However, in the alternative, should the committee not agree with the judicial section 8, we've got a suggestion, namely that the consultation process referred to in section 8, it should be done by an independent presiding party. It could be an arbitrator, that could be whatever the appropriate independent presiding party. Instead of it being done by the minister, in our view, we think that this could be against the rules of national justice as well. And in that instance, then we would appeal that necessary amendment to section 8, wherein a substitution of minister be done and substituted by the way independent presiding officer should be done. With the preamble, Chapter 3, we've got a concern regarding the term underdeveloped areas. It is not clear from the bill whether this term is indeed related to underserviced areas referred in the ECA. It would be most appropriate to be targeted to what is precisely meant by this term. This becomes more of a concern when one looks at Section 41 of the bill, which, because of the lack of the group definition, may give another connotation to the whole of the bill. When one reads Section 4, it does have to provide for the affordable broadband, and then it's not clear whether this provision is going to be to underdeveloped areas or to the needs. We want that. What you are saying is that the preamble of the bill gives us the view that the bill is to provide affordable broadband to underdeveloped areas. Section 4 doesn't relate to that. So we want an alignment for the reading of the statute. It should be
fixed it up. We will be alerted in the department where the youth comes as well. It should be synergistic with what's in the legislation, ETA itself. Thank you.
Well, another aspect that we would want some clarity on is with regard to terms that we've seen again in the preamble. Broadband access, affordable access to broadband. Term the access. When one reads Section 61 of the bill, we get an understanding that ISRACO will be providing backbone network. But with this term now, one may get an impression that there is also a view that it could also be providing communication services. If that is the intention, we would ask that the ISRACO must also, in addition to the network records, get also a service provider. Servitude, we don't really have substantial difficulties here. It's only two issues which, again, we would want them to be clarified. One, when one reads Section 7, one has the impression that there could be, over and above the rights that already exist, some rights that at the time when the bill is elected would be initiated. If that is the intention, we would object to that. And another issue, contrary to the draft bench, where FSN was part of the definition, and then one knew exactly that the transfer intended is for both the assets of Transnet and EFCO. With the bill, there is no longer that definition. We only get to see Transnet only as Section 8. To somebody that doesn't know that those assets have already been filled in the existing entity, which it could be a problem. So we want that to be addressed. Chair, we've got also general issues which are not really critical, which relate to definition, investor perception, exclusivity, and financial details, just rationally. We notice that electronic communication is not into the administration. And again, along with that, if ICASA will be providing access to broadband services for subscribers, the mission of electronic communication services should be included in the fees. And again, one thing we notice is that electronic communication is part of the mission that has not been used in the case of the fees. Here we wish to underscore what we've already stated, that it would be imperative for purposes of transparency as well as investor security that the IMSA could be fully licensed and regulated for ICASA, especially taking into account government involvement in several electronic communications providers. Yes, the objectives of the bill can be taken into account when such process of licensing and regulation is done. On the issue of exclusivity, we've taken it in another sense, not in the sense that was discussed here yesterday. Our reading when we read the objective, we picked up that possibly there could be exclusivity feeling when it comes to a specific process of national interest. We would ask the committee that it should not be the case. There should be no exclusive allocation of infrastructure-specific projects of national interest. When it comes to those projects, what we would ask the committee to do is that in the bill, that should be the process that is open to the state tender processes. Whenever a tender itself could be given for those projects, there should be a tender process that is open to every other player. This is what I'm saying, because there could be efficiencies on costs that could be delivered by other service providers in such projects. On the fiduciary duty, we thought we should just bring to the attention of the committee that it is common knowledge that government occupies critical positions in several ICT sector companies, and as a matter of fact, they do assume fiduciary duties in those companies from the perspective of company law. And the critical question here might be asked as to how government will successfully reconcile the varying interests of large companies in the same sector, which are set up and compete itself with one another without allowing for collaboration. Our concern is that this could, the participation of government in those companies could in some way compromise our conflict insofar, our creative conflict insofar as its fiduciary duties are concerned. We must remember that fiduciary duties, they require that